It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running, a couple of minutes late, but there's a darn good reason for it. There's work underway that will eventually lead to the videoization of the fabulous Horn Studios here at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It's all a little bit out, it's a little bit away yet, but it is becoming more and more of a likelihood. And so there's nothing quite like knowing that your house isn't going to burn down from bad previous wiring to make you feel better about just hotting up the mic and getting on the air. Hi, I'm Robin. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Yes, indeed. According to Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, we will be returning to live services in the imaginary Cathedral of Common Sense on West Virginia Day, 1 month and 8 days from now, on June 20th, 2021. We'll still be masking, however, because we're not COVIDiots and we're not mask holes and we're not Republicans. And so we take our responsibilities seriously in our imaginary cathedral of not imaginary common sense. Yeah. But today we've got other stuff to get started with. If you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap extravaganza that takes place, did I mention Zany? Takes place when this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific. Well, hop on over to headon.live, click on chat room, and you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers to the chat room, Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And right now you're being capably moderated by, well, not so capably moderated by me. Because I know that pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, he was in computer hell recently, as was much of the world. A complete crash of Outlook, things like that. Steve pointed out, you know, you'd think that Microsoft would actually test what when they send out a patch, that they'd test to see if it actually worked before they pushed it out. Yeah, but then again, you'd think that something as critical in the way of infrastructure as a pipeline that provides fuel to the to 40% of the East Coast would be protected by a security system that whose password wasn't, you know, password. I still think that's a possibility. Pardon the noise back here. Ferg is weed eating right now, and he is zipping through weed eater batteries like Sherman through South Carolina. So there's a constant cycle of batteries going onto the charger and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he hates it, but I like it. There's nothing like not buying petrochemicals with which to... Never mind. I'm digressing already. It's weird. The Rodecaster is picking up some of the noise and compressing it and noise gating it, and some of it's getting through, and some of it isn't. How strange. But anyway, this is the 12th day of May, 2021. And our buddy Randy Radar, Randy, no, that had nothing to do with Head On Live. That was me getting to the microphone late because of electrical stuff. Just wanted to get it up. All right, so every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, consequently, we have thanks to send out to our 12th day of the month subscribers. Mm-hmm. And so that means thanks very kindly to Gary in New York. Thank you, Gary. And thank you to Paul very much indeed. Thanks, both of you, for being subscribers on this 12th day of the month. This is that part of the part of the month where things get a little thin subscriber-wise. If you'd like to be a subscriber, it's real easy. You'll be setting yourself back not quite a half a stick of Wrigley's gum per program. I know it's a lot to ask, but nonetheless, it is appreciated. And it's real easy to do. Just go to headon.live and click on the little box that says make this happen every month so I don't have to worry about it anymore. And you will be part of the merry band who are partial sponsors of the program month in and month out. And like I said, it gets thin about this time of the month, 12th, 13th, 14th, etc. It is all appreciated. Again, thank you, Gary. And thank you to Paul. And the fundraising goal for this evening, because we're struggling. We've knocked out $100 of Monday, and so we've got Monday, $200 of Monday, $300 of yesterday, and $300 for today, for a grand total, I think, if my ciphering is correct, of an $800 fundraising goal. Hopefully, we'll keep knocking at least. If we could knock out Monday, that would be great. And just as long as we can keep the fundraising goal under four digits, my liver doesn't quiver quite so much. But I wanted to thank our pal Andy the Angry Jew, because we had a heck of a conversation on the Filler Robster last night. And I also want to extend thanks to Georgia and to Darlene in Connecticut. It was kind of a history-making moment. Nah, it wasn't history-making, but it was really cool. It was really cool to have to be joined by a couple of brilliant women offering their take on the issues we were dealing with. Thank you both so very much. And again, thank you to Andy. Andy jumped in, kicked in. I misspoke. We are at $790. $790, thanks to Andy. So that means we've only got $190 of Monday yet to fill. Thank you, Andy. And postscript, Andy writes, first of all, let me thank you for airing my email yesterday. After all, if we cannot have dissent among the family, then how are we different than any right-wing party that does not allow people to disagree amongst themselves? Indeed. I'm sure you will agree with that, Andy says, and I do, and we'll be talking about the fact that you can't do that in the Republican Party here in just a little bit. My observations had nothing to do with the current administration. I was talking about the concept of Israel from its inception. I also don't like the assumption that because somebody criticizes Israel, I insinuated that they were anti-Semitic. That was a leap other people made. I have no problem with criticizing their current regime. Well, the fact of the matter, there was that phrase was used and said that, then, you know, and I wanted to be clear that that was not directed at me, or that I am not that. But it is a thing. For instance, all over this country, it is frequently, and not by, well, okay, by Israelis, some, the Likudniks and whatnot, but quite often by the good God-fearing, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, after all, by the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians who fetishize Israel, and I use that in an anthropological sense, they fetishize Israel for their own political gain. And in the case of the evangelicals, it's because they believe this twisted, heretical vision of the New Testament that says one of these days, Jesus is a coming back, and he's going to be pissed, and he's going to line up all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians, and he's going to say, round up the Jews, and anyone who will not say and bow the knee to me and say that I'm the Messiah, you can run them through and kill them all for all I care. I don't believe that. They believe that, and they live for it, and they love it. And that's why, for instance, Pastor John Hagee referred to Hitler as God's Hunter. Okay? But that group of people will holler anti-Semite at anybody who dares to deliver Bibi Netanyahu a cold cup of coffee. Although some people like cold coffee now. I mean an insufficiently hot cup of coffee when Bibi wants hot coffee. Never mind. Andy continues and says, many years ago I wrote you about what I perceived the plight of the Jewish people to be. From my little mind, I feel that we have been running from the rest of the world. You might recall I made the statement that nobody wants us. And there is a history. There's a history to support that assertion. God knows the pogroms. It's largely a European history. I'll get to that in a minute, Flavia. The pogroms, the tortures, the genocide, the attempted genocides have touched every country largely throughout the Middle Ages and into the Renaissance, for that matter. Nowhere was immune from vicious outbreaks of anti-Semitic governmental behavior, let alone the religious stuff. And so one could, the United States, of course, has a racism problem as deep as the day is long. But it's worth remembering that Benjamin Franklin was made an honorary member of the synagogue in Philadelphia, and took that very seriously. And in so many ways, this country has proven to be a haven. There are events and there are groups. You know, the Klan doesn't like Jews any more than it likes black folks or anybody that isn't them and white. That's why they're so fond of the Nazis. But this has been a place where persecuted world Jewry could prosper and thrive and integrate to the desire that they liked into a broader secular society. Let me ask you, Andy says, and the women who called, that would be Georgia and Darlene, where would you have us go? Because nobody wants us. The $3 billion is a non-issue, a very small amount in the scheme of things. The Jewish lobbyists in the United States are very powerful. Nothing is stopping Palestinians from forming their own lobbyist group here in the United States. Let the Arab world contribute to the plight of the Palestinians. Why don't they? And they do. They do. Various and sundry Muslim governments do contribute some to Palestinians. But because of what I mentioned earlier, and I'm not trying to be contentious here, but it does need to be thoroughly understood, you know, like all the way down to one's toenails, that the Israeli lobby has the success that it has in the United States because it is so completely in bed with the absolute worst political aspects of our so-called secular republic. Again, the aforementioned John Hagee, the guy who said that who looked at his congregation and said of people that people on welfare should starve, which is, by the way, completely antithetical to anything taught in the Torah. He formed a dodgy little group to grift up some money some years back. I remember it well. It's called Queefy. Queefy. Citizens United for Israel. And it was a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian group. Again, of people who believe that Israel is worth saving because someday Israel will make it handier for them to be able to kill the Jews at the behest of a pissed off, having just returned, Jesus Christ. Okay? And there is a Palestinian lobby in the United States. I have communicated with them. I, once upon a time in D.C., I defended a couple of women who were being beset by the aforementioned Christian assholes because they were wearing their hijabs. I told the Christians to fuck off and invited them to do something about it if they did not wish to so fuck off. And they fucked off. But they, you know, they have a lobby group. But here's the problem. There is nothing in Christian eschatology that fetishizes the Palestinian people. That cannot be overstated. There is no great and abiding love for the Jewish people in the Southern Baptist Convention. Okay? There just isn't. But they are deemed to be convenient. Because it fits in with their bizarre and twisted fantasy of the end of the world. Everybody sing REM now. It's the end of the world and I know it. Yeah. No singing. We got $790 to raise. But I hope that I'm making some degree of sense. Nobody's ever going to get worked up about the Palestinians because the Palestinians don't have anything to do with Jesus coming back and a great corpulent dickhead from San Antonio getting to gig Jews like frogs on the end of his little fucking sword. I hate to be so graphic about it, but we've got to do that. I've got to make it clear why Palestinians will never have the influence in Congress that AIPAC does. And of course there is another group. There's a group of AIPAC is, you know, basically just a bunch of Likudniks. Who would as soon see no more Palestinians on planet Earth. They would find no problem with that whatsoever. But, you know, then there's another outfit called J Street. And J Street works assiduously to try to present a viable alternative to the bloodthirsty ramblings of AIPAC. So that, I think, answers that question. Andy continues and says, Jews feel like we have as much right to claim Israel or more than any other people. You're never going to change that belief. The show represents a lot of minorities, and I listen and understand their challenge. We are 15 to 20 million people worldwide. Are people aware of this? I do not support the needless killing of anybody, and that's for both sides. Blood is on both hands. The Jews in Israel live in the midst of a hotbed of constant threat. Let's not lose sight of the fact that many would like to see us disappear from the face of the earth. I would like that to be a smaller number than it probably is. The ones who outright want an absolute end to Jewish people on planet Earth, those are the Nazis. Those are not lefties like me. Those are the people who wander, and they really are a, I hope, tiny minority, but I fear that they are not. Remember the chant of the Trump supporters in Charlottesville in August of 2017. Jews will not replace us. It's called the replacement theory. It's the replacement libel. Okay, there's this notion that somehow or another, and it ties in with others, that somehow or another all the white people are going to disappear one of these days because of the gall danged brown people. Well, the fact of the matter is white folks are a minority on planet Earth, but that doesn't mean that there's a plot against them. It's just how evolution happened as human beings who, as recently as 7,000 years ago, were all dark-skinned and brown, managed to go up into the northern climes of the recently receded glaciers and lost their evolutionary need for melanin in their skin. And boom, me. But there is a hotbed of threat in Israel, and it is because there are a lot of people who are still extremely pissed off that their ancestors were thrown off the land for Israel to become a state. If one puts the shoe on the other foot, one realizes how angry one would be. The obvious analogy is with indigenous Americans. Right now, where I'm sitting is indigenous land. Okay? It just is. And my ancestors stole it. Okay? And my ancestors helped commit a genocide against the people who used this land. Who never for an instant, by the way, thought that they could possibly own it. The idea of land ownership was as foreign as the ice cold mountains of the moon to the indigenous people of this hemisphere. But we stole it. Sure enough, we stole it. As a people, Andy continues, no group has been persecuted more than us, period. If anybody wants to join in a conversation that needs documentation about this, I'll call in. One might be careful about saying that to someone from the Lakota Nation or the Nahuatl-speaking peoples of Mesoamerica. I mean, white Europeans killing 20 million indigenous people, it's pretty bad. And it was done deliberately. And in fact, you know, one of the foundational documents of the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, sitting there in a sweltering July, 1776. I've seen the building where it happened. Sitting there poring over their drafts of the Declaration of Independence. And when you know what the final draft came out to be, you know that they were looking at each other. Hey, remember, we're trying to get people on our side. Let's put something in there about the king won't let us kill the bloodthirsty heathen Indian savages. It's there. It's history. That said, Andy says, my financial support of the family, I support the family when I can. As you know, Robin, my life was kind of turned upside down in the last 3 or 4 years, so as so many others have. And I know it has, and Andy has reinvented a career that is downright inspiring. And it's a beautiful thing. And thank you, Andy. Thank you for what you did. I'm sending $10 in the spirit of free exchange of ideas, even when we might disagree. I think we disagree less than might initially appear. I really, really do. So thank you. Thank you for the ongoing dialogue, Andy. I think this is how we reach consensus and common cause and collegiality and a sense of community. And it's a pity that other groups can't do what we just did. And I am so sorry for all the noise. Because I hear it in my headphones and it's driving me bananas. Let's see. So let me address some of the emails that came in during the time that I was sharing that information. Steve in New York says, I have to hoist a snifter of Pappy Van Winkle 23-year-old bourbon to Andy the Angry Jew. We can disagree and still contribute to the betterment of our community, which, let's be honest, leads to the betterment of our country. What Andy shows us is that this is the real big tent. And by the way, Steve adds, last night was the very epitome of good faith. And I think it was. I'm glad you feel the same way, Steve. I am. Steve reminds me of J Street, which I did try to bring up, which tries to counter the negative influences of AIPAC. Meanwhile, from Lee in New York, a Jewish, did you know there is a Jewish star on the dollar bill? Look on the back above the eagle. Okay, you can't do that to me. Wait a minute. Let me get my purse. And zit. Yeah, and this is one of those things that, you know, that drives all the people that believe the world's secretly run by the Rosicrucian Illuminati Bolshevik. The Bilderberger Bohemian Grove Amway salesman. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a six-pointed star. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And it's a six-pointed star that is comprised in turn of 13 smaller stars representing the 13 original states. That's what I thought. Nice observation. Thank you. Thank you, Lee. So that will probably be the close of the topic for the evening because we've got so much other stuff to go into. Flavio, since I mentioned that, the Colonial Pipeline and the dodgy stuff, you'll be relieved to know, Flavio reminds us, U.S. nuclear submarines run on Red Hat Enterprise Linux, not Microsoft Windows. Red Hat is owned by Oracle. Open sourced. Beautiful. That means anybody the world over can fuck with it. Yay! But by the same token, it would have been a shame if Outlook had crashed on all of our nuclear submarines. So, you know, there's that. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. Stop choosing coffee temperature. The only bad coffee is Goldilocks coffee. Coffee can be hot or cold, iced. Mm-hmm. It's the question of whether one wants iced coffee when one's coffee is delivered hot, or hot coffee when it's delivered cold. And I can also default on that metaphor by simply saying cold hamburger, because I just don't know many people who order cold hamburgers. Yes, Dave in the Blind says, John Hagee, we're talking the Blood Moon Howler Monkey, the fat, crazy little faster than picking old lady pockets for going on over 50 years. When will the evangelicals wake up? Damn book toward the end, one's but false prophets, and yet they seem to embrace their media. I used to be part of a fundamentalist congregation, and they would often speak, when Jesus came back for judgment, they'd be right there and carry out his wishes. So I guess there goes the idea of the Prince of Peace, or are we talking in our doublespeak? Frankly, I'm going to have a little bit of sanity tomorrow when I see Christine and my nephews graduating and my sister's only an open house with tacos. I'm trying to arrange. Yes. Good luck. That's our buddy Dave in the blind. Well, and good news, the Washington Post with a breaking story says the Colonial Pipeline people say they've restarted the pipeline. Did they pay the ransom? I don't know. Let's see here. Randy Radar says, you should sing, Robin, exactly, because you have $790 to raise. You can always threaten to play heavy metal Pat Boone, too. Okay. But trust me, nobody wants to hear me sing in my old voice or my new one. Either one. I'm working on it, but I'm not there yet. In Seven Pillars of Wisdom, Flavio reminds us, T.E. Lawrence of Arabia, wrote in 1926, the British cabinet raised the Arabs to fight for us by definite promises of self-government afterwards. It was evident from the beginning that if we won the war, these promises would be dead paper. And had I been an honest advisor of the Arabs, I would have advised them to go home and not risk their lives fighting for such stuff. He knew of which he spoke. There's no doubt about it. It was primarily the Sykes-Picot agreement that put paid to all of that. Sorry, I had to change out batteries on the charger. When it was all said and done, the King of Jordan is all that is left of the Hashemite regime or Hashemite kingdom. Jordan is what they wound up with because along came this vile old thug named Ibn Saud. And with a little bit of connivance from some well-placed, powerful countries, they managed to displace, if I recall correctly, the Hashemites from the Arabian Peninsula. And the rest, for anyone who has had their head lopped off by the order of some princeling from the royal house of Ibn Saud, or perhaps a journalist with the Washington Post who has been chopped into chutney by the scion of and heir of the royal house of Ibn Saud. Well, it's a moment in history that might well be regretted. Stand by. I'll be back in a sec. Sorry for the silence. Again, my apologies. So much, so many things going on. Let me see where we go next. Oh, Billable Rick says, Robin, lukewarm coffee sucks. It's got to be either hot or cold, but not in between. And I also want my heavy metal Pat Boone sung to the tune of I Want My MTV. I want my heavy metal Pat Boone. Yeah, that. I've got, and now because tech, Ron and Raleigh wants to know what kind of batteries I'm using. I've got a couple of 2.5 amp hour 56 volt lithium ion batteries for the weed eater. And then the lawnmower takes the 5 amp hour batteries. Yeah, remember, it's a trimmer, not a mower. I got that part. And somewhere along the way, I got to figure out a way to get one of their chainsaws, because I got some chainsawing to do, because that's so much fun. Anyway. Now, finally, yay verily, 40 minutes into the program, I can get back to what ordinarily begins the program. Robin! Spruce Goose. Jeffrey would like to start the journal tonight.
It was on this day in 1780, during the Revolutionary War, the beautiful and besieged city of Charleston, South Carolina, surrendered to the British forces near the Citadel. None other than a distant ancestor of Lady Lindsey Graham, Lady Leroy Graham Cracker, was spotted sitting in one of the dells. Dells defined as lush green valley surrounded by trees. Ah, yes, the arboreal dell. Yes, Lady Lindsey Graham's distant kinfolk of Lady Leroy, who was spotted just a-sitting in the dell with one of the British forces, a strong, strapping stalwart of a man named Stan. According to sources, Lady Leroy was totally engaged with the Englishman, as there was no wait for it, yes. Much like Lady Lindsay, Lady Leroy was a willing participant in this engagement, as there was no British forcing going on here. You want to see what Jeffrey did there with Sit Adele? And yes, of course, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that's primarily what Charleston's good at, is surrendering. They eventually surrendered. After starting the Civil War, they wound up surrendering then, too. It's like what a friend of mine once said about the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. How did it go? What do the French need with an Arc of Triumph? The only people who ever use it are the Germans and the Americans, and they've each used it twice. Never mind. That's no fair. Napoleon built that back when he was kicking ass all over that part of the known world. Anyway, Jeffrey continues with the revolution.
They also captured the other senator's ancestors. Yes, they found Tim Scott's relative, Tom Scott, who was out in the farm fields picking the crops. The Toms, British troops were often referred to as Toms. Yes, the Toms really liked Tim Scott's relative, Tom Scott, because he was out in the farm fields trying to field a State Farm insurance office, just like his distant relative Tim Scott would do 2 centuries later. The British Toms liked Tom Scott because he gave them such good rates and took care of all their insurance needs. Yes, in this case, the Brits really liked the Scots. And after such a great insurance deal, wait for it, yes, after meeting Tom Scott, the Toms did not dread Scott.
Oh, dear God, please. Thank you, Jeffrey. Good job. And speaking of St. Louis cemeteries, which were referenced when Darlene and Georgia were on the program last night, yes, Dred Scott is buried in Calvary Cemetery, not far from where Rush Limbaugh is buried. And yes, Rush Limbaugh is, in fact, still dead. Mm-hmm. And he was taken, Dred Scott was, to St. Louis from none other than Florence, Alabama. Jeffrey, meanwhile, has some WW2 history.
On this day in 1943, two axis of evil forces surrendered in North Africa. Back here in North America, we had one of the asses of evil's daughters,
basically surrender her leadership position in the U.S. House. You all remember the asses of evil, George Bush, Paul Wolfowitz, Ronald Dumsfeld, and dictator Dick Cheney. Well, Dick's daughter just dicked herself all over by telling the truth concerning the election. Too bad Liz Cheney, in a disingenuous fashion, is now trying to play the role of the moral martyr when this attempt at redemption will do her no good. She should have assumed that role long before this, when her evil father was fanning the flames of war and advocating the torture of enemy combatants.
Well, let me just add as an aside to that, because we will be talking more about Liz, otherwise known as Dick in a Wig. You know, it sounds like one of those revolting-sounding British meals, doesn't it? Well, I'll have some balls and scrotum and a dick in a wig. No, that's spotted dick. Never mind. We will be talking more about Liz here in a moment. And Jeffrey's absolutely on the warpath.
Many seem to believe she's vying for her chance of becoming the next president of the United States in 2024 after Trump is hauled off to prison. Yes, Cheney believes Trump will end up in Sing Sing prison after Iwanka, Jared, and Dumb and Dumber sing to the Southern District. I think this was a poor gamble for this woman of no virtue, because there are just not enough Never Trumpers, and most independents are swinging away from Trump. Besides, the average misogynist white right-wing male is not going to vote for a woman who more and more is looking like Meemaw Governor Kay Ivey of Alabama. The good old boys, average, bigoted, middle-aged, and younger white males will be voting for a woman that looks like Bailey Breedlove.
Thank you, Jeffrey. You did a great job on the Journal today, especially with the Bailey Breedlove reference. I have to be honest, Jeffrey and I were thinking along the same lines as Darlene last night when Robin said a young woman by the name of Bailey Breedlove got thrown out of Six Flags for her shorts being too short. To put it bluntly, we thought, sure, the woman is either black, had a mixed-race child, or was with a black man. As far as I could tell, none of this was the case, and at the risk of being a Republican, I have to say, this Bailey was one beautiful young woman. Well, let's not go there. But she had a darling daughter. In fact, she reminded me of a server I used to know not long ago at a local restaurant. Bailey Breedlove did have several tattoos, and maybe that was the issue, but she was not dressed inappropriately at all, unless she was going to a prayer meeting Wednesday service this evening. I'm with Darlene again. I hate to admit this, but I have a confession just to make on prayer meeting Wednesday, and that is, I seem to be with Darlene all the time these days, just on the issues, that is, as I have not been to Connecticut in over 30 years. And Jeffrey finishes, Billable Rick questioned if the Goosellini and his wife had to pay parking. Actually, they have a vehicle that's called a duck boat, which of course is named the Spruce Goose, and Gojo allows them to park for free. Nice. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 12th day of May, 2021, with Giraffrey driving the Spruce Goose and looking to run over some Republican protesters at the anti-abortion clinics in Florida.
Ha!
Yep. And so there's a $10 Spruce Goose challenge on the table. If that is met, we will get the fundraising goal down to $770, which would be wonderful. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. Sorry, pollen. But at any rate, thank you. Thank you very kindly for that. And what an all that was a Jeffrey's Journal that was all over the place. Charleston, the city that just wouldn't look good. I don't think the Chamber of Commerce would like to. Welcome to Charleston, the city that surrenders. Yeah, well, maybe not. Just because we have to, before I get into what I've been planning on dealing with for the majority of the program this evening, Darlene sent this along a couple of minutes ago. H.R. 1, the For the People Act, is probably dead. And anyone who has any curiosity at all about who killed it, well, if you're a regular listener to this program, a member of our community, you know I'm mentioning this because you know probably before I even say it who just killed the For the People Act. The For the People Act would go a long way toward correcting the wrongs that were perpetrated by old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, who thinks that there's no such thing as racism in the new 90 states of America no more. But Joe Manchin has announced that he will not support it, the For the People Act. I believe Democrats and Republicans feel very strongly about protecting the ballot boxes, allowing people to protect the right to vote, making it accessible, to making it fair, and making it secure. This, he burbled in a conversation with Rachel Scott of ABC News. This, more than, it comes as no surprise, of course, the godforsaken maggot Republicans in 11 states have worked extra double plus hard to make it harder for people, and when I say people, you know I mean, you know which people I mean, to vote. I mean, they literally reduced the number of ballot boxes and access to the boxes, for fuck's sake. He did say, if we apply that to all 50 states and territories, it's something that can be done. It should be done. It could be done bipartisan to start getting confidence back in our system. Of course, Joe, being a not particularly bright bulb, cannot be accused of knowing history or even knowing current events, given, you know, the fact that the ones hollering about the lack of integrity in elections are maggots. And so it was yesterday that in the Senate Rules Committee, they deadlocked on the For the People Act. And so now, Chuck Schumer needs at least one Republican to cross the aisle just to get it out of committee and onto the floor, where it will die because Joe Manchin is committed to the racism that empowers and motivates the goddamn filibuster. Yeah. I know. How can one human being be wrong about so much? Well, Joe has a race problem. We know that. We knew that going all the way back to when he blocked Barack Obama's nominee for the Justice Department for the Civil Rights Division because he was A, black, B, black, C, black, and D, had once written an appellate brief defending a E, black guy. That was enough for Joe. I mean, I wonder what it's like. Does he sit around, Joe Manchin, does he sit around thinking, I wish everybody didn't hate me? But everybody doesn't hate him. There are people who, I guess, who think he shits ice cream. Or at least they tell him that to his face and they laugh at him behind his back. I'm talking, of course, about the coal industry. And various and sundry other energy industries. Maybe they love him at Mylan Pharmaceuticals. I don't know. I mean, at one point you could argue that his own brother didn't much like him, because his brother sued him for a couple of million dollars for hoodooing him out of some business cash. I hear they have since patched up their differences. Yes, yes, yes. So that seemed appropriate to deal with at this point in the program. But what I wanted to talk about primarily, because by the time we were off air last night, I didn't get a chance to run Liz Cheney's speech on the floor to an empty House chamber. I mean, there's nobody there. She was howling into the wilderness, but I guess she felt like she needed to make a case for why she wasn't bowing down and kissing the hairy orange toe of Nitwit Nero. And so Republican Congressman Buck from Colorado yielded her some time, at which point she began to unlimber herself of her feelings about, and there was a lot of yammering about democracy and whatnot. We'll address some of that here in a moment or two. But for the nonce, let's let her get started.
A neighbor to the north, the gentlelady from Wyoming, Ms. Cheney.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank very much my friend and colleague, Mr. Buck, for yielding me time this evening. I know the topic, Mr. Speaker, is cancel culture. I have some thoughts about that. But tonight, I rise to discuss freedom and our constitutional duty to protect it. Mr. Speaker, I have been privileged to see firsthand how powerful and how fragile freedom is. 28 years ago, I stood outside a polling place, a schoolhouse.
Now, hold on. We're going to let her go, but notice she acknowledges that the topic for the evening is cancel culture. Now, this is the United States House of Representatives, and I presume that being that it is controlled by the Democrats, the agenda is set by the majority for these speechifying evenings to an empty chamber. Correct me, did Representative Buck say that he wanted his topic to be cancel culture? Either way, notice that Dick in a wig can't even go along with that, because the Republicans bark and hoot and grunt and howl and carry on and screech and squeal and moan and about, you know, cancel culture, but they're the ones who are practicing it with regard to Dick in a wig. And she can't even dignify that. Now, I'm going to talk about freedom. Sorry, wrong accent, I know. And then proceeds to open up by talking about watching someone vote 28 years ago. Where, Liz? Where were you?
Western Kenya.
Thank you.
Soldiers had chased away people who were lined up to vote. A few hours later, they came streaming back in, risking further attack, undaunted in their determination to exercise their right to vote. In 1992, I sat across a table from a young mayor in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia.
Okay.
And I listened to him talk of his dream.
All right, so far we've got heroic manifestations of the determination toward freedom in Kenya. Wonder why Kenya. Never mind. And Mother Russia. Right. People who voted even though they were denied the right to vote. Surely to goodness, maybe Liz will reference, Bloody Sunday in Selma. Or maybe something in Georgia or South Carolina or maybe Virginia. Because, I mean, We've had lots of episodes, lots of Mississippi. Let's wait and see. The suspense is killing me.
Liberating his nation from communism. Years later, for his dedication to the cause of freedom, Boris Nemtsov was assassinated by Vladimir Putin's thugs. In Warsaw in 1990,
Poland.
I listened to a young Polish woman tell me that her greatest fear was that people would forget. They would forget what it was like to live under Soviet domination. That they would forget the price of freedom. Topic.
Do you okay? So do we sense a theme here? I mean, really, she is dick in a wig. Because this is all just old anti-Soviet grumbling. That's not to say there isn't plenty to grumble about in terms of the Soviet Union, but, well, the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union. She's mentioned communism, the Soviet Union. She's mentioned Vladimir Putin. She's called him a thug. Just trying to sort out how she's theming this whole thing up.
I sat across a table from a young mayor in Nizhny Novgorod, Russia, and I listened to him talk of his dream of liberating his nation from communism. Years later, for his dedication to the cause of freedom, Boris Nemtsov was assassinated by Vladimir Putin's thugs. In Warsaw in 1990, I listened to a young Polish woman tell me that her greatest fear was that people would forget. They would forget what it was like to live under Soviet domination, that they would forget the price of freedom. Three men, an immigrant who escaped Castro's totalitarian regime, a young man who grew up behind the Iron Curtain and became his country's minister of defense, and a dissident who spent years in the Soviet gulag, have all told me it was the miracle of America, captured in the words of President Ronald Reagan, that inspired them.
Yeah, see there? And now we get our first reference, to old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, the greasy-headed B-movie actor who started the downward spiral of the United States of America from a country that said, we will go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is hard, to becoming a country that says, well, we can't shut everything down. I mean, there's a pandemic on, and we can't do that. It'd be bad for business. Yeah.
And I have seen the power of faith and freedom. I listened to Pope John Paul II speak to thousands in Nairobi in 19... 19-
Also, a notorious anti-communist, right-wing fascist, John Paul II. Again, a theme emerges.
In 85, and 19 years later, I watched that same Pope take my father's hands, look in his eyes, and say, God bless America.
And also, you're going to hell. Because you're a Dick Cheney, and you have the blood of a million Iraqi innocents on your hands. Because, I mean, you know, that's true. And it's worth remembering that this woman, Liz Cheney, is literally one of the reasons that when America called, old five deferments Dick Cheney said, fuck you, America. I'm not going to Vietnam. Look at me. I got another deferment. I knocked up my wife again. How about that? Yeah. So, just to kind of bear that in, she is literally... Dick in a wig is literally one of her daddy's draft-dodging deferments. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm deemed uncharitable in this. But more than anything else in the world, Liz Cheney reminds me of Dr. Frankenstein. And I don't mean Frankenstein. And she reminds me of Dr. Frankenstein because the Republican Party has been a monster loose upon the land for almost all, for all of my 58 years. As soon as I was able to understand even the most vague aspects of American politics,
the first lesson that my parents started teaching me was that Republicans are fucking terrible. That if you are working class in this country, if you work for a living, if you don't sit around clipping coupons and pondering your convertible debentures, Republicans are going to be horrible for you. Like my grandmother once said, oh, so many years ago, the Republicans promised us three meals a day, oatmeal, skip a meal, and miss a meal. And they delivered. She is lionizing a Republican Party that was a pox upon this country and ever has been. From the moment that the bullet entered the brain of Abraham Lincoln, practically, with a few notable exceptions, Grant, James A. Garfield, a little bit of Teddy Roosevelt. There are no good Republican presidents, and not Eisenhower either, before somebody, yeah, well, he was a good Republican. Bullshit! Dwight Eisenhower busted his ass to make sure that every American couldn't go to the doctor when they were sick, just like we were making possible all over shattered post-World War II Europe. We set up a vibrant, organized labor system in post-World War II Europe. And we did it so that post-World War II Europe would not again erupt in flames if some fascist asshole came along trying to inflame the working class again. But what was good for post-World War II Europe was not good for post-World War II United States. And so when people talked about universal health care access for American citizens, Eisenhower responded by yelling, "Communism!" And it's there in the records if you care to go and look it up. There has never been a time in the United States of America after 1884... when a Republican was good for this country. They have ever been the party of regressivism. Again, with the caveat of a little bit of progressivism toward the end of the 19th and the early 20th centuries. Warren Gamaliel Harding, fucking crook. Calvin Coolidge, for the most part, a staid, taciturn man who would gladly let the world burn down. Herbert Hoover was said to be a decent sort of guy. He was an engineer. God knows how many communities he had ruined because he was involved with British mining interests in his working life. But he had African-American men chained together to repair levees as they failed in the hurricane of 1920, I don't remember what year, on the Mississippi River. A horror. When the Great Depression struck, Herbert Hoover said, "Fuck 'em, not the government's job. Let it burn." And that's how you get FDR. Because let it burn was no longer a viable political option. I mean, this is infuriating. History is real. I'm not making shit up. I'm not shining it on. These are facts. You can check me. The nightmare that is American foreign policy begins under Eisenhower. Harry Truman had refused to fuck over Ho Chi Minh. But, well, you know, old Ike, he'd been a highfalutin five-star general and everything, and he was pals with people like... And Harry was pals with Winston Churchill, too. But Ike was better pals because Churchill felt like Ike really understood how the WOGs needed to be treated. God, I hate that word. It's as nasty as any of the other epithets that, yes, and I apologize for using it. And so Eisenhower... When de Gaulle said, "Hey, those people in French Indochina are wanting their freedom, and we can't have that," he said, "Well, of course not." And the first military advisors went in to what was then French Indochina. And then... Well, then there was Iran. Again, Harry Truman wouldn't cooperate, but the Iranians had this crazy notion that they wanted to be, they wanted to rule themselves, and so they elected a prime minister named Mohammad Mossadegh, who looked up and said, "Hey, here's a crazy idea. The oil under Iran belongs to the people of Iran." And British Petroleum said, "The hell you say? I say, old chap, that's our oil." And Churchill called crying to Eisenhower and said, "Ike, old chum, I can't get my government to support going to war against Iran. But you might be able to do so yourself, maybe on a covert basis, take some of those spies you have and overturn that little Mossadegh fellow." And that was the first successful coup, dreamed up, launched, and executed by what we now know today as the CIA. And every problem that we have with Iran today stems entirely from that monumental fuck-up. Plain and simple. And it was perpetrated by a goddamn Republican. Don't even get me started on Nixon. Actually scuttled peace talks between the United States and Vietnam so that he could be president. And Lyndon Johnson knew, and Lyndon Johnson couldn't do a damn thing about it. And so a few more tens of thousands of Americans died for no good reason whatsoever. But one of them wasn't Dick Cheney, because he was banging away at the wife, making little deferments to keep his sorry ass out of the jungle. And so, Liz here, we're talking about Liz here. There's just so much damned history. You can't get this in the for-profit media because they don't have time, because they got to go break away and, you know, sell you some drug. So you can't get this long-form stuff. But Liz Cheney is the child of everything that I just described, and it absolutely gagged my gut this morning when I turned on my filthy morning habit, hearing her described as the fucking Statue of Liberty. Made it downright difficult to keep my yogurt down. Huh? She's no good person. She's not doing a good thing here. She's just doing a different bad thing. Maggotry is bad. Maggotry is evil. Maggotry is wicked. But suggesting that there is some Liz Cheney-style Republican Party that is a better alternative. I mean, these are distinctions without differences. Nitwit Nero, of course, inveighed against her again today. Just because you get attacked by Nitwit Nero doesn't mean that you're a good person. It just means that you're not on his good side. Do you get what I'm going on? Yeah, I hope. So when last we heard from Dick in a Wig, she was lionizing old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
God has blessed America, Mr. Speaker, but our freedom only survives if we protect it, if we honor our oath taken before God in this chamber.
You mean an oath like your dad took as vice president and then set about machinating the slaughter of a million innocent Iraqi civilians? That kind of oath? That kind of freedom? That kind of God? Because, Liz, you're selling. But, girl, I ain't buying.
To support and defend the Constitution. If we recognize threats to
is that what Daddy Dick was doing when he outed a covert CIA agent? Because that's something he did. Was he supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States when he with his hand up W's ass, using him as a ventriloquist puppet? Promulgated the big lie that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11? Because I just want to fucking know. I'm a little confused here. Because there was enough historical revisionism going on in this little tear fest that all the multimillionaires of the for-profit media fell for, like first-timers into New York seeing their first three-card Monty game.
Well, I can find the queen.
Because I was, you know, I remember the filthy little fraud that was the run-up to the Iraq War. And I remember how smoking guns couldn't be mushroom clouds. And I remember yellow cake. And I remember how her daddy looked at a venerable sitting member of the United States Senate and said, "Go fuck yourself." I mean, I do remember that, don't I? I haven't crossed over from some other evil America alternate universe Star Trek-y kind of thing where Dick Cheney had some sort of creepy ass goatee. No, that was this one. It was definitely this one. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. This was a con job. Make no mistake. This was some effort to make people think that there used to be a good Republican Party when there never was. At least not in the 20th century. At least not in the last 100 years. Not that much time in the scope of human history, but in the course of this country, that's, you know, a third of it. Yeah, there's that too. And it ain't always Republicans. Ron in Raleigh says, "Don't forget Woodrow Wilson sent 5,000 troops to invade Russia in 1918 on the side of the white Russians against the Bolsheviks at Archangel." Not been taught, won't be taught. Real history ruins a good story. Yep. Well, back to Dick in a Wig.
freedom when they arise. Today, we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence.
That much is true. That much is absolutely true. It's just being delivered by the wrong person, at least if you are someone who has a functioning understanding of recent American history. Because, see, I remember when Republican operatives rioted in Miami. It was called the Brooks Brothers Riot, so that her daddy could illegitimately become the vice president of the United States in an election that really was, no kidding, stolen from Al Gore. And was stolen in broad daylight with a nation watching. I remember that. And then they used 9/11 to buy themselves a second term. And American corpses came home from Iraq and Afghanistan in cardboard boxes. And the president's mother said, why should I bother my beautiful mind with how many are dead and how many are wounded and why and where and how? Her valedictory, such as it was, does not withstand scrutiny.
Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard
just like in 2000
his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all. I am a conservative Republican, and the most conservative of conservative principles is reverence for the rule of law.
Oh, fuck you. No, really. Fuck you, dick in a wig. That is not a principle exclusive to conservative fucking Republicans. Sorry, I got a feeling the F-bombs are going to fly fast and loose tonight. No, 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 no. And, you know, CNN just dropped a news story, analysis. There has been a Cheney near the top of American politics since the 1970s. That ended today. There has been a Cheney, Liz, or her dad, Dick, at or near the top of Republican leadership since the 1970s. No more. Dick Cheney started working in Richard Nixon's White House as an intern and was appointed White House Chief of Staff under Gerald Ford. On and on and on. Dick. He's a great big dick. Dick Cheney, before he dicks you. Maybe that's part of the problem. The Dick Cheneys and the Rumfields and the Bushes.
The Electoral College has voted. More than 60 state and federal courts, including multiple judges, the former...
Time out, because I wasn't done. I wasn't done with that a core principle of conservative Republicans is dedication to the rule of law. That is a core principle of the aspirational idea of the United States of America. And for her to try to lay claim to it on the behalf of some Republican conservatism that exists solely in her mind and the mind of the of a handful of never-Trump Republicans is the most utter of hogwash. Even in attempting to call down history as a witness to the awfulness of Nitwit Nero, she can't resist the fundamental Cheney urge to slur and sleaze her political opponents who aren't Republicans. In other words, aren't maggots. Because, you know, brooga, 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 those Democrats, oh, they don't believe in the rule of law. They believe in letting the BLM, anti-fascist, Rosicrucian, Bilderberger, Illuminatis just run America right into the ground with free college and debt forgiveness and free stuff. And, oh, they're just killing America because it ain't conservative. But again, all that Republican history that I pointed out, that is a Republican Party, and especially the Republican Party from 1964 forward. Well, that is a Republican Party certainly transformed away from any principles that were adhered to by Abraham Lincoln. And it is a Republican Party that rose to power for the first time after Eisenhower on the back of the Southern Strategy, which was not so much a strategy, but just a rejuvenation of the same old terrifying, gut-bending, bowel-watering white people fear of the other. And it was laid out and codified and roadmapped by Lewis Powell in the Powell memo before he went on to the Supreme Court of the United States. And it gave rise to filthy old ideologues like Rush Limbaugh, who mercifully is still dead, not yet floating on a cushion of piss yet. And has harmed so many, killed so many, especially in communities of color. We can't have no regulations. And a mine blows up. And 29 brothers and sons and daddies and cousins and uncles don't go home because Republicans hate regimulation. She's one of those kind of Republicans.
President appointed have rejected his claims.
And by the way, that whole mention of the... See, this is being prayer meeting Wednesday. This is how I know that there's no great big bearded juvenile delinquent up in the sky with a handful of lightning bolts, because the minute she said Electoral College, one should have flown out of the air and just, you know, if it was nothing else as a warning shot, maybe French fried the seat next to her. The Electoral College has spoken. And the Electoral College has been speaking with a racist voice from its racist origins. Why do you reckon it is that she couldn't point out that the people spoke? That Nitwit Nero twice lost the popular vote. Do you know why? Because then people might have been reminded that so did her daddy. That is why. Any surprises? I mean, really? There's the silence between the notes is the music too. And there's a lot of silence between a lot of notes, and it's a hell of a tune in this speech.
Department of Justice investigated the former president's claims of widespread fraud and found no evidence to support them. The election is over. That is the rule of law. That is our constitutional process. Those who refuse to accept the rulings of our courts are at war with the Constitution. Our duty is clear. Every one of us who has sworn the oath must act to...
Hold the hell on! There was a court in the state of Florida that said that Al Gore won Florida. Dick and Dub did not accept the ruling of that court of the sovereign state of Florida and hauled it up to the Supreme Court of the United States and said, hold on a minute. If Florida continues to count votes, it will permanently injure George W. Bush. Because that's another thing that happened. See how this all works?
...prevent the unraveling of our democracy. This is not about policy. This is not about partisanship. This is about our duty as Americans.
Horse shit, it's not. If it wasn't about partisanship, she would have mentioned the popular vote. And she would have acknowledged the fact that she's being cancel-cultured by her own party.
Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar. I will not participate in that. I will not sit back and watch in silence while others lead our party down a path that abandons the rule of law and joins the former president's crusade to undermine our democracy.
Really? Because, again, that should be lightning bolt number two or three when she said it's not about politics, because she is not going to look into a camera and say, well, you're not going to have Dick in a wig to kick around anymore. She's a chini. She wants something. She needs something. She demands something. She'd like to be president of the United States so she can get back to fucking America and stealing us blind the way her daddy did. That's another moment. I can remember. Oh, I'm so old. I remember back in 2015 and 2016 when the Sparkle Fart propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade was grunting and barking and hooting and hollering, no Clinton Dynasty! No Clinton Dynasty! Woo, Clinton Dynasty! Poor things. They never understood that the real dynasty was the Cheney Dynasty. And it's still with us. How about that?
As the party of Reagan, Republicans have championed democracy, won the Cold War, and defeated the Soviet communists. Today, America is on the cusp of another Cold War, this time with communist China.
Communist, communist, communist! She would love nothing more than another Cold War, Liz Cheney, because that would mean that the military and industrial congressional complex, one of the few good things Eisenhower ever did point out, well, a new Cold War with China would be great for the military-industrial congressional complex, and that means it would also be good for Liz Cheney. And Daddy Dick. Sure.
Attacks against our democratic process and the rule of law empower our adversaries and feed communist propaganda that American democracy...
Communist? What? Yeah, she did just salute old 666 David in South Carolina, Stan.
...is a failure. We must speak the truth. Our election was not stolen, and America has not failed.
This much is true.
I received a message last week from a Gold Star father.
Oh, dear God. She received a message from a Gold Star father. Well, I'm sorry we don't have any musical accompaniment.
Who said, standing up for the truth honors all who gave all. We must all strive to be worthy of the...
You mean all of those who gave all in, like, Vietnam while you were riding around in your mommy, in your mommy's tummy because you were literally a living deferment to keep your daddy out of Vietnam, Liz? All of those alls, do they count too, Liz?
Sacrifice of those who have died for our freedom. They are the patriots Catherine Lee Bates described in the words of America the Beautiful when she wrote, O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. Ultimately, Mr. Speaker, this...
How much mercy was there, do you think, for the million Iraqi civilians that her daddy helped murder and that she supported every step of the way? Just asking. Just asking for a million dead Iraqis, that's all.
...is at the heart of what our oath requires, that we love our country more, that we love her so much that we will stand above politics to defend her, that we will do everything in our power to protect our Constitution and our freedom that has been paid for by the blood of so many. We must love America so much that we will never yield in her defense. That is our duty.
Maybe I'm being uncharitable. I don't know. But it rings hollow with me because I know who she is. She has eagerly supported, among other things, the killing of thousands and thousands of Appalachian people because she is supported and takes gladly the financial support of the people who do the killing, the coal industry. And an Appalachian life doesn't mean dick to her. And she's being lionized, and I felt like I had to spend this much time at least trying to explain that the lionization is not justified. Nope, it isn't. It just isn't. Not coming from her mouth. And this isn't just pure partisanship. I don't like Republicans. I mean, I laid out a pretty good brief against Republicans, but that's not the point. The point is that she's making an argument for revitalizing a party that does nothing but hurt America. I'll be back in a sec.
Yes, we can bomb most any land. On CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke. Over me, the fear and insecurity, Yes, I am American. From Pearl Harbor to Afghanistan. Now Vietnam is history. And brother, that lesson didn't come for free. The politicians, they didn't bleed. Misguided patriots, indeed, indeed, indeed. Are we an empire? Loose, loose, fast. Or can we find a peace that'll last? Is the answer here at home? Home, 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 home. Or is it buried in a foreign storm?
Certainly seemed like a nice little denouement to Liz's speech. Yeah, and I'm going to the phones just in a minute, but I got some stuff to take care of. First of all, I need to send out a thank you. Thank you to our buddy Gary, different Gary from Gary in New York, jumping in and helping take down the took down the fundraising goal to 745, and there's a $25 anonymous Howard Hughes in Dylan's Shoes challenge. Thank you very kindly. 25, and so that'd get us down below the $700 mark, and that would be tremendous. Thank you very much indeed. And some notes along the way. Ron in Raleigh says, I must mention, I'm sure you've heard that Tiffany Trump and Vanessa Trump have been called out for doing the Humpty Dance with a couple of Secret Service agents. Well, now, these folks will take a mile given an inch, and Ted Cruz called the PRO Act Jim Crow 2.0. God, he's a sleazy being. Um, Yeah, sorry about all the buffering. Not a blessed thing I can do about it. Randy Radar pointing out, it's one thing to be anti-war and to be a chicken. It's quite another to be pro-war and to be a conservative chicken hawk. And that, of course, is exactly what we're dealing with when we're talking about Cheney's. Oh, I got a cowbell. Thank you, Silent R. Lamar. Lamar the Magnificent. Please give yourself a cowbell for hand up the ass of Bush as a puppet. I will happily accept that. Jack in Shreveport, Cheney's speech, the rule of law, along with your comments on Republicans and the rule of law, I wanted to add that so many of them not only insert religion into their politics, but consider their religious beliefs a higher priority above the law. You know, there's God's law and then there's man's law. Precisely. The party of Reagan won the Cold War, upheld the rule of law, promoted democracy, prosperity, and wheat checks. I see Liz Cheney is doing her stand-up shtick again. Thank you, Arthur. Yep. You can't believe the Cheneys are with us, says Lee in New York. I can't believe Dick shot my lawyer friend in the face. Cheney is still alive. Jeremy, I didn't notice. We'll have to check that later. Does Liz know there's an R in freedom? She said feed 'em at least four times now. Fuck these rats. And Liz, David points out, helped create the monster that ate her. Precisely. Hoisted on her own petard. David in South Carolina Stan points out, I'm still happy that I walked right past Ted Cruz and avoided shaking his nasty hand. This was in the before times. The before times, yes. I know what that, yes. Good, that's a cowbell for before times. You have to understand the Republican brain, says Ron in Raleigh. In the Republican brain, if you're not directly responsible for someone's death, i.e. you didn't shoot, stab, bludgeon, or poison them, you're not responsible at all by Republican logic. No one's responsible. Easy peasy. Yeah. No kidding. And I need to go back because I wanted to take care of this Cheney stuff. Beforehand, I got a great email from Steve in New York. I got an intertube. Steve in New York says, I'm not an experienced politico. Bullshit. You worked on Capitol Hill. I'm not an experienced activist, so I'm not in a position to be the least definitive in how I see the political impact here. I'm not going to do the very thing I despise. People who aren't in the game, and I'm not telling people who actually play the game how to do so. So today, the GOP dumped Liz Cheney. I watched her speech last night to the House, and I found myself almost rooting for her, or at least liking what she had to say. I probably even shouted an amen or two. However, what we cannot forget is that her rule of law talk is just that, talk. We cannot forget this is the same person who voted with Trump 90-plus percent of the time. This is the person who is in favor of torture. Ooh, I left that part out. Remember that a person from whose loins a person exists is not a reason to impose one's parents' views onto that person. However, in this case, Liz is a carbon copy of Daddy Cheney. They both like the same vile things. In this one case, she loathes a vile thing. Give her the due she deserves, but never forget to heap the loathsome things she stands for on her in greater abundance. Now, what do we as Democrats do? In an article from CNN, Gloria Borger is right. This gives Liz a louder megaphone than she would have had the GOP not done what it did. It's always easier to control the voices from inside the tent, you know, that keep your the keep your friends close and your enemies close and your friend what and your enemies closer aphorism. What this tells us is that the greater good of the party is now subordinated to the persimmon Pol Pot. And that's a good thing. We need to exploit this. We need to point out that this confirms that the GOP is nothing but a cult of personality. We need to always bring back to the conversation that she is a warmongering torture advocate. I use the German advocate, even though it actually means lawyer, but the English-speaking cognate of advocate and the Nazi images it conjures up are intentional.
We can give her credit for a second, but always remind people of her vileness and make clear that 15 minutes of fame for doing the right thing does not negate the 24 hours of advocacy of so much bad. We as Democrats, progressives, lefties, or whatever we call ourselves at the moment, need to never, never let the country forget the real Liz Cheney. We need to play rough, play tough, bring an RPG to a knife fight politics with this. We need to explain that this place is in front of everyone for the world to see that one party actually advocates for the overthrow of the government, one that may claim constitutional fealty, but one who supports the opposite. We need to support and foment the inevitable division that this will foist upon the right. We need to cultivate it, support it, fertilize it, support its germination, and support its flourishing. We have an opportunity to toss the right wing, the current GOP, and the conservative movement onto the trash heap of history, painting it as an anti-person, pro-death, pro-war, anti-constitutional, anti-democratic, vacuous, and devoid of ideas, ideology that it is. The right wing has not just tossed us a softball. It has put the ball on the tee in the center of home plate. We need to hit it. Let nobody forget who they are. That Liz Cheney's one brief shining moment is not penance for their many sins, and that they deserve no credit and are entitled to all the bad we can muster to heap upon them. And sometimes cowbells go out for profundity, too. That's true. Randy Radar pointing out, oh, and the guy that shot Dick in that Dick shot in the face, he had to apologize to Dick for putting his face in front of Dick's shotgun shell. Yep. Dick Cheney. But it all doesn't end there. No, it doesn't. Because there's a follow-up. This morning, because the Republican Party can't do anything right, they had a closed door, no one but Republicans, double secret probation meeting in which they voted to strip her of her powers and make her dangerous. This they then did. Then, proving that they had in fact made her dangerous, cameras and microphones were waiting. And she had this to say.
By a voice vote, let's listen.
Embrace the big lie and embrace the Constitution. And going forward...
And hold on. All of a sudden, and for somebody who's been around a little bit, you know, it's the whole I'm so old thing that Bart Kopp used to such wonderful effect. I'm so old that I remember when we were talking about the big lie at the beginning of this century. Because Liz Cheney's dad was the one promulgating the big lie. Most people, not of the World War II generation, really hadn't heard much about the big lie. But the concept of the big lie, what would that be? Der große Lüge? The concept of the big lie was promulgated under the Third Reich. The idea that if you repeat a lie often enough and make it audacious enough, it will eventually be taken as fact. We started talking about the big lie when we were when we were screaming trying to stop an illegal war against a people who had not lifted a finger against us. I remember. The big lie was the idea that Saddam Hussein had something, anything, everything to do with the attacks of September the 11th, 2001. But now, stripped of that context, it's back. And I haven't heard a single member of the multimillionaire for-profit media point out that fact. That's why this program exists. That's why this program struggles to exist. And so we, and by the way, you know, we could get done with Monday if we bring in another, what was that, $145? Yeah, $145. So thanks to anybody who jumps in on that. And there is a $25 challenge on the table that would get us down below $700.
The nation needs it. The nation needs a strong Republican Party.
Does it? I mean, no, one-party rule? Mm-mm. Look how that's working out for Alabama, West Virginia. America needs a rational party. And there is no incarnation of the Republican Party that can be said to be that. Frankly, oh God, and I'm verging pain, perilously close to talking about ideological purity or to trying to enforce it. We need a party of centrists and we need a party of progressives. The world has no need nor room for right-wing authoritarian fascism, and that is what Liz Cheney represents. Pure and simple. She's making the fascists who don't say the quiet part out loud argument for the Republican Party. That's all.
The nation needs a party that is based upon fundamental principles of conservatism.
Yeah, those fundamental principles of conservatism are fucking toxic. Those fundamental principles of conservatism say that the wealthy of this country are the real citizens and the rest of us can pound sand. The principles of conservatism say that, you know, $15 an hour is communism, and people who can't afford their rent and their power in the same month are experiencing, what did George W. Bush call it? Something uniquely American. Here's a woman working three jobs. That's uniquely American. I goddamn remember.
And I am committed and dedicated to ensuring that's how this party goes forward, and I plan to lead the fight to do that.
Wonder how much money she's raised so far, don't you?
Former President Trump might end up back in the Oval Office. What are you prepared to do to prevent?
I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. We have seen the danger that he continues to provoke with his language. We have seen his lack of commitment and dedication to the Constitution. And I think it's very important that we make sure whomever we elect is somebody who will be faithful to the Constitution.
Whomever we elect. What does that mean? Is she talking about the next Republican nominee? Because we've already elected somebody who is faithful to the Constitution. Is that a slur against Joe Biden? You know, that's what Cheneys do. They do backhanded slurs.
I do not. I think that it is an indication of where the Republican Party is, and I think that the party is in a place that we've got to bring it back from, and we've got to get back to a position where we...
And yet she's not betrayed. Her entire party just betrayed her, but she is not betrayed. Oh, my daughters, oh, my ducats.
Are a party that can fight for conservative principles, that can fight for substance. We can.
And not one of these goddamn reporters said, well, Liz, what the fuck are these conservative principles you keep talking about? Is that drill, baby, drill? Is that denying climate change? Is that continuing to flex our military might against nations full of suffering humanity? Just tell us about some of those conservative principles, Liz. That's all. Yeah? How about? They're just checking. Oh, thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Part of the Howard Hughes in Dylan's Shoes challenge has been met. We got 15 bucks more to go on that to get us down below the $700 mark. If we get to 600, that'll mean that Tuesday, all that remains is we'll have Monday done and Tuesday and Wednesday just to go. It would be awesome if we could. Thank you again, Jeremy. Well, I've been filibobstering for damn near 2 hours. Let me, yeah, she's not betrayed, says Steve in New York. Because the money spigot just opened up with a vengeance. Ding! Absolute truth. Thank you, Jack. Jack in Shreveport, Jack just knocked out the other 15 bucks and got us down to 685. 85 bucks away from having Monday fully funded. Thank you, Jack, so very, very much. Deeply appreciated, my friend. And, let's see. Let's go over to the stress line that came in first. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's me, Richard, from Decatur, Georgia, talking at you yet once again. I was just about to ask you yourself, Robin Kincaid, how you felt about Liz Cheney's political outfit.
I kind of took care of that for you, didn't I?
Yeah, I can see that you're elated, you know, or happy or glad that you've been politically ousted.
No, I'm not glad that she's been. No, I would actually prefer that they continue to be deeply divided in the Republican Party. I'm not necessarily happy about it. I think I'm more concerned with the way that the American people are perceiving her right now. Because, you know, once these pampered multimillionaires start blathering about how, well, you know, she could be a Republican presidential contender in 2024.
No, she can't. Number one, who would vote for her? Number one.
So, do you know how nasty she is? Do you know how hateful she is? And I don't mean that in terms of nasty woman or anything. She is a Cheney. She would. They might go for her because, she would attack Joe Biden like a junkyard dog that hadn't been fed in a month.
Right. That's true. That is true. And, you know, Mitch McConnell and them, have you heard about this redlining thing that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are going to go to the White House for a showdown with Joe Biden and the Biden administration? President Biden and the Biden administration, Robin?
No.
Have you heard about that? No. Well, yeah, I tell you, but I don't have all the facts straight. So, anyway, you're saying that Liz Cheney is 100%, well, evil? Like you said, you know, she ran for the White House in 2024, which is, you know. But, like I said, who's going to vote for her, number one? Robin, who's going to vote for her, number one?
There are a couple of close bets played here. She thinks he's going to get indicted. She thinks right. that Trumpism is going to collapse. She thinks that right. she can damn sure take a little pipsqueak pissant like Josh Hawley or Tom Cotton. Right. Or, God knows, Ted Cruz.
Right. I heard that Donald Trump still has the grip on the GOP. I think I heard or read something about that on the internet.
Well, I mean, that's what everybody keeps saying.
Yeah.
I don't know the extent to which that is true.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that, Robin. And do you think that the four millionaire profit media are but themselves puppets of, you know, of these people. You know,
I don't think I necessarily understand your question.
I mean, well, they're supposed to be watchdogs. Now they act more like lapdogs. You know?
Who, the Republican Party?
Yeah, that and the media too.
Oh, the media. Oh, okay. Oh, well, no, it's obvious that they're taking this Cheney con hook, line, and sinker. Because they desperately want to, because it creates conflict that they can then write vacuous stories about.
Yeah. It also creates ratings for them too, right, Robin?
That's the ratings are the point. The clicks are everything.
Right. That's true.
For 2 solid hours. We will talk again very soon, and just stay safe and stay well and enjoy the warm weather, okay?
Okay, Bob. I mean, Robin, but I just hope that nobody falls for her bullshit.
Oh, people are falling for it left and right. That's why this program exists, so that some of us won't. Reggie, you have yourself a good night, my friend. Take care.
Well, I want you to
bye now.
You too, Robin. And I want you to reprogram these people from her bullshit lies.
We're not big enough to do that, but you know, we still make the effort. Reggie, have a good night, my friend. Okay. Take care.
You too, man.
Bye now.
Bye.
And onward we go over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program. You're on the air. I know I'm connected. I did this right. Let's see here. Helps if I type. Massachusetts? Are you there? Is this Kevin? Anybody? Okay. Well, maybe there's some sort of connectivity problem. We'll see. Well, if you I kept getting rung in on the stress line while I was there with Reggie, because that's why I cut that short, and I had somebody on the but well, yeah, exactly. Brother Deacon Asa says, "Am I the only one thinking that Liz just launched her 2024 campaign?" That's exactly what she just did. That thing was full of Reagan fetish sound bites. And the political ads will write themselves. Ray, you know, her, maybe as some young tot being embraced by Reagan or some such shit as that. That's exactly it, Brother Deacon. No doubt about it. What I would like the Republican Party to become, Lee in New York says, I want the Republican Party to linger. I want parents to say to their children, now listen carefully. If you do not work hard and learn, your only option will be to be a Republican. In a van down by the river. I added that part just for Brother Deacon Asa. But it really did kind of beg to be a Liz Cheney kind of day. Because if you watch closely, you'll be absolutely nauseated by the way it's being presented in the multimillionaire for-profit media. It's all just, you know, Liz Cheney shits ice cream. I couldn't take it. I had to. I left. I couldn't watch My Filthy Morning Habit. And I admit, but there was a moment, and it's like, damn, somebody's diva quotient is rising. Joe Scarborough was off this morning on his usual rant about Donald Trump, you know, which is deserved, but, well, you know, how many billions of dollars worth of free advertising to do, and, you know, just trying to kind of, I guess, that, and I would too, but trying to sort of get away from the reality of how he helped that awful nightmare get into a position to torment our country for four long years. It's a hard job being on air three or four times a week for, you know, maybe a whole hour at a time, or a whole hour total, because there's so much commercial content.
Think a second.
I wouldn't think a second. I would, all of my friends, and by the way, these same friends,
these
right now,
family.
I've said this before.
And this is part of the lionization of Liz Cheney, defender of freedom.
If I needed something, even today, they would give it to me. If I needed a kidney, they would give it to me. Mm. These, which actually makes it more disturbing, these people are in a cult. And it allows them to separate everything they've learned in school, everything they've learned in church, everything they've read in Jesus's words, everything they've read in the New Testament, everything they've read in the Gospels.
None of which means a good goddamn to them. He's talking about the evangelicals, the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals who support Trump. And it appears that Joe Scarborough still hasn't figured out that it was all a sham.
Everything they've read in the Old Testament, and they're able to separate that and embrace this alternate reality. And for some reason, I guess watching it happen with somebody, and let me say, by the way, and Mika will tell you this, I don't, Donald Trump, you know, this isn't about Donald Trump calling me a murderer. This is about me talking to my friends and them having this massive disconnect and not understanding that if a president had called them a murderer and said they should be thrown in jail, and then, of course, you know, capital punishment, all that, I would have been the first to rush up there. We would have all rushed up there. This is so bizarre and beyond. And so they knew that was a lie, right? And if he was going to lie in such a grand way about something as crazy as that, Willie, I'll get to Willie when I want to get to Willie.
Mm-hmm. He's right there.
I see him. I'll get to him when I feel like it. Don't tell me to go to Willie. I'll go to Willie when I feel like it.
Ooh, getting bitchy with the producer. Oh, Joe, don't do that. Don't do that. Because the producer will put the camera on you when you think the camera isn't, when you're all the way up to the third knuckle of your little finger in your left nostril. That can be a thing. Never, ever, ever be shitty to the production staff. Don't.
So, if he's going to lie about that, Willie, well, what the hell won't he lie about? And then we get to the things that matter. The vaccine. Like, why won't he come out and tell them people are lying about the vaccine? Why won't he be aggressive on the front lines? The election, which is what we're talking about now.
The insurrection.
Why does he keep lying about the election? Why does he keep lying about the insurrection? He was the guy who inspired it. But most importantly, those people that were booing in the audience, I've got to tell you, I'm just at a loss. Why are they still embracing him? And liberals who are stupid go, oh, you supported a cut in the capital gains tax. You were part of this all along. Like, what morons? Just shut up and get off my Twitter feed. Shut up and get off my Twitter feed. Willie, I can't grasp how.
This was actually kind of pathetic and funny. Yeah. Because he was. Everybody who has been a Republican since Ronald Reagan has participated in the dismantling of the United States of America, and that's not a joke. I guess one of the few people who could maybe say that to his face and get away with it would be Anand Giridharadas. Because somehow or another, Anand Giridharadas has the ability to speak truth to, not power, but Scarborough, and make Joe like it. But it's the truth. The fact that you don't like it doesn't make it any less the, you know, truth. Yeah, there's a certain amount, there's some truth to that. Jeremy in Vermont says, Joe better be careful. He might get accidentally caught on an open mic or cam saying what he really thinks using fun words and the really ugly words, need I say more? And don't, yeah. Right. But this is a methinks he doth protest moment. A methinks he doth protest too much moment. He knows what he did. He knows what that gangrene revolution was all about. He knows how much that hurt America. I really have. I have searched my soul and searched my memory, and I cannot find anything that happened during the Reagan 80s, the follow-up caretaker presidency of George H.W. Bush. God knows the nightmare 8 years of W. Or the reign of derp of Nitwit Nero. I haven't found anything done by the Republican Congress that controlled the joint under the presidencies of both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. I can't find any good in it because it was nothing but it was nothing but the whole damn thing is nothing but white grievance. And a penchant for killing brown people. Yeah.
How this happened. People I know, people I love, people who have always stood, forget about politics, but in life, for what's right, people who taught their kids to do the right thing. People
but they didn't
who
really, did
lived
they?
By a code that made me proud to be their friends. What happened? I have no idea.
Well, what happened, Joe? Is that you had a character flaw that made you think those were good people. Because they weren't. I mean, sure, maybe they didn't kick the cat. Maybe they took their dogs to the vet when they were sick. Maybe they raised a nice little family of 2.5 white children in a suburban American neighborhood. But who was the person who said, count no man lucky until you know the manner of his death? Who said that? I can't remember. But I do know that Kurt Vonnegut said, a normal person, functioning well, on the upper levels of a prosperous, industrialized society, can hardly hear his conscience at all. And that remains true to this day, and I have never seen it be more true than with regard to people who think that they are good conservative Americans. Because all their conservatism has ever meant is that they were okay with hurting other people because they didn't know them and because they were other people.
I never would have believed this 5 years ago. And I tell you the truth, I never believed that 75 million Americans would vote for this guy. They did. Then the insurrection came. I never would have believed they would have stayed with him. I'm telling you, I've said it before. You can put all the polls up that show that Joe Biden has a 63% approval rating, whatever. And he was going to win Wisconsin by 20 points. If the election were held today, Donald Trump would get 75 million votes.
That's true. But that's not... That's of little consequence in some senses. It's of no consequence whatsoever if one does not understand that 75 million number as being a function of American dysfunction, of exposing things that are wrong with America and have been wrong with America for a very, very long time. We have spent generations looking the other way while affected people have begged for relief. We talked about the concept of ahistoricity. And this is a historical commentary that he's offering up. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of work to think about all the hatred and harm that has been perpetrated by the Republican Party long before Donald Trump ever considered running for president. Donald Trump is not the disease. Donald Trump is the symptom. Grover Norquist, drown the government in a bathtub, was a symptom. Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, standing at the Neshoba County Fairgrounds in Mississippi, a stone's throw from the earthen dam where Cheney, Schwerner and Goodman were buried after they were murdered. And in August 1980, declaring his undying support for states' rights, that was the moment of the metastasis of the conservative Republican cancer in America. And I'd go head to head with him on that. Because history and facts are on my side. I got facts, he's got feelings. And at this point in time, in a teetering republic, I don't know if we have time for Joe Scarborough's feelings.
He hasn't lost a single vote. And yes, you can give me all, you know, you can say, oh, my cousin's grandson's not voting for him next time. No, he would get the 75. I don't know a single person who's changed their mind. There's certainly not enough people. You look at these polls, he dominates the Republican Party even more.
Guess what Joe Scarborough wants? He wants Donald Trump to run again in 2024. Oh, yes, he does. He so does. He yearns for it. Because it'll be good for the clicks. It'll be good for the bank account. Remember what Les Moonves at CBS said in 2016. Donald Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS. Suits upstairs would love for Donald Trump to run for president again. Because the chaos that would ensue would guarantee eyeballs on screens. Oh, yes. Yes, they would. And it would probably be good on this side, too. Because, as I've said before, it's not just me. It's a lot of progressive broadcasters who've watched numbers fall off. I joke about how I lose half the audience every time I talk about my transness, but that isn't it. It's the fact that we feel like, we're safe. We're saved! And so we've got our vaccines and we can go out and we can play. And I'm not criticizing that. But when we do that, and while we do that, the other side are plotting our destruction. Trying to figure out a way to take away anything that this administration can give. Fervently pursuing the dream of taking the House in 2022. November 8th, 2022. And it's chilling. And they would be setting the stage for the return of the thing. The glorious Mashy Niblick, once broken, would be reforged as he would return from Mar-a-Lago in triumph. Like Gaius Marius of old. And if you thought 2016 to 2020 was nuts, oh baby, you haven't even begun to think about crazy. This is crazy on steroids. Matt in San Francisco says, save me the hand-wringing, Joe. Some of us were awake when you were taking Trump's calls every morning. You can't willfully play with fire and then cry and question as to how the house burned to the ground. Go brush your hair, bitch. Matt says it so much more eloquently than I. Christopher, out in Oregon. Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Joe has no idea why Orange Menace still lies about everything. He's always been rewarded and never punished. God damn it. I'm wondering why I have less beer in the fridge every time I drink one. Fucking Christ, Joe's smoking a hell of a lot more than just parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Oh, no, Joe's a teetotaler. Don't drink, don't smoke, what do you do? Subtle innuendos follow. Must be something inside. Yeah. And let's run over as we try to get Monday fully funded in the remaining 32 minutes of the program. So we won't have a triple digit or a quadruple, a four digit, you know, fundraising goal. Let's check in over there, over on the Skype line. I think we got Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
I love that.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey.
So, I don't know. I'm going to do my quick public service announcement. I don't know if you announced it already at the beginning of the program or what have you, but has everybody heard about the emergency broadband benefit program?
No. Share, please.
Oh my God. So if you, so basically the government, our government, our president, you know, the people that say that Democrats aren't doing anything for the country, well, peep this, my corn brothers and sisters. If you qualify, the government will pay up to $50 a month towards your internet bill.
Damn.
Okay, and so and these are how you qualify. If you have qualified for lifeline benefits through participation in, like, you know, food stamps, Medicaid, supplemental security income, federal public housing, or veterans and survivor benefits, participates in one of several tribal specific programs, experienced, wait for it, a substantial loss of income since February 29, 2020. With a total household income of, in 2020, at or below, rate for it, $99,000 if single, and $198,000 for joint filers.
Holy, what the fuck, Batman?
Okay, I'm not done. But wait, there's more. Received a federal Pell Grant in the current award year, so that means the, you know, students, you know. Received approval for benefits under the free and reduced price lunch program or the school breakfast program, which, you know, is because of the Black Panther Party, but, you know, we don't talk about that. Through the USDA Community Eligibility Provision, and last but not least, meets the eligibility criteria for participating providers existing low income or COVID-19 program, and that provider receives FCC approval for its eligibility verification process. And also, but there's still more. If you personally don't qualify for any of these things, but you have a household member like a child or a parent or somebody that you're taking care of, If they are eligible for any of the programs that I mentioned, your household is now also available, eligible for this benefit. And also if your household income, you know, aside from if you lost money, you know, if your income was reduced substantially because of COVID. But if your income, you were broke anyway before COVID, so if your income meets a certain amount, you know, federal poverty guidelines, which is way too low, we all know that. So there's just a whole bunch of ways that you can apply, you know, eligible for.
That's amazing.
Also, here's another thing.
I'm not taking anything away, but let's understand what in the final analysis this is. This is support to the internet companies, it could never have gotten through Congress if it didn't have an element of corporate welfare to it. But in this case, it's corporate welfare that actually helps real, live, honest to God, struggling people. Americans.
That part. So also, and this is what they consider a household. So a household is anybody that lives in a house, no matter how many people are, and they're sharing, you know, they share income, food, and stuff like that. Now, however, if you live, and so they're only entitled to one benefit per household. But if you're in a situation where you have roommates and, you know, and you guys aren't you're not sharing income, you're just paying your parts or what have you. So say you have four roommates that aren't sharing income and stuff like that. That means that's four discounts per household member. I mean, it's four different, they consider that four different households. So say, for example, I'm a college student, and I, you know, well, if I was still a dependent college student, And I lived away from my parents. So, like, I'm going to, you know, I live here. I go to school in California, but my parents live with, like, you. If you were my mom, and you live in West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
so it's like, So, like, you and Agnes would get the $50 a month. And then because if I'm getting a Pell Grant, then I can get $50 a month on my own to get my own internet.
You get $50. You get $50. You get $50.
You get $50. So and let me tell you just how quickly and how easy this was. So I went on to the website, and it's getemergencybroadband.org.
That's easy.
That's easy. So you go onto that website and you click the apply now. And so it asks you a bunch of, you know, so it asks you your full name, your middle name, your last name, your date of birth. You put in the last four digits of your social security number or your tribal number. And then you put in your address and, you know, do you qualify for, like, you know, it'll ask, you know, because it has all the qualifications, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it'll ask if you have qualified through your, you know, through your own self or through your child. Click. Because I do qualify for Universal Lifeline. I mean, so it could be, you know, depending on what you qualify for, you might have to actually, like, upload maybe your tax return or what have you. But in my case, I put in the last four of my social security number. I put in my address. I hit apply. Next thing I know, I got the approval within seconds.
So ultimately, what happens? I mean, do they just send you $50?
So this is how it works. So once you get the approval, like I said, in my case, because I applied online and I once they ran my last four of my social. It came up, so I got my, what they call my application approval. I mean, I'm telling you, it took me only 5 minutes to do this. So then this is what you do. If you already have internet, through your broadband provider, like in my case, I have Spectrum. Okay. So I called Spectrum and said, hey, are you guys accepting the broadband emergency benefits? They're like, yep. So then they took down, you know, because I already have my account, because I already have an account. So they just confirmed the information that I used to apply online, my first and last name, my address, my last four of my social, and they asked me a couple of confirming questions and blah, 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 blah. And the next thing I know, I'm getting $50 a month off of my internet bill. Now, the program is good up till 6 months after it is declared that we are no longer in a pandemic.
That'll be a while.
That'll be a while. And so, or if money runs out. But the way, you know, this is a different administration, so I'm pretty sure they have taken, you know, all the, you know, everything into consideration. And so, yeah. So now if you don't already have internet, so you still apply for the program, and then you can, you know, you can choose which internet service provider you want to use if you don't already have an internet service provider. But if you do, you just call them when you get the information. Once your application is approved, you call Spectrum, Charter, whomever, and they will, if they're participating in the program, they will apply that $50 a month. And so apparently it'll start for me on my next billing cycle in June.
Amazing. Darlene just wrote in and said, yep, applied this morning, Tracy. It's good until funds run out. It's a simple application, mm-hmm. and you have to upload documents under both groups if you apply online. I had to upload my PUA approval and PUA 1099G for group one, and my 2020 1040S federal and state for group two, 1040s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised to hear Tracy got approved in seconds. Mine's still pending approval. I guess that's not a good sign.
No. Okay, so everybody is, like I said, I already qualify for Universal Lifeline. I already do. So, because I have Universal Lifeline on my phone. And so I am assuming that is why it didn't take me, that's why it was approved so quickly. And I think also if you, like I said, if you're on SSI or, you know, Tribal or, you know, any, like, or, you know, SNAP or any of these things, I believe that the application process is just as quick as well. It's just that it depending, and also it varies by state as well, as far as what, because each state's PUC and all that has different qualifications, you know, different things you have to do. So it also, you know, applies by state and stuff like that. But the general, the, like Darlene said, the actual application takes a couple of minutes. And again, like I said, it all depends on which level you you qualify, you know, for which tier you qualify under.
Okay.
And yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, so you might have to, you know, like scan your copy of your, you know, scan your driver's license and your, like in Darlene's case, her tax returns or what have you to, you know, to prove your income and stuff like that. Again, it is entirely depending on which tier you qualify under.
Excellent. Excellent.
But that's why I heard about it and because that's why I called, because I didn't know.
Well, give the website again.
It is, let me see. Let me go back to, it is getemergencybroadband.org.
Getemergencybroadband.org.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be easier. And indeed. I mean, see, this is, I heard a clip from Moscow Mitch McConnell talking on KET, saying, "Well, you know, the president's
infrastructure bill don't, you got a lot of stuff that ain't infrastructure. Republicans love infrastructure. Well, we're gonna talk about infrastructure. Let's talk about roads and bridges and culverts and." And you know, broadband.
Yeah.
Nah.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, because the girl, the woman, my customer service rep was amazing. And because we were talking, and I said, you know, I don't know what your politics are, but this program that they're doing, first of all, internet should have been discounted from Jump Street during, you know, when COVID first hit, especially for low-income people. Because I tried to get my internet and all that lowered, and they wouldn't do it, you know. And so that should have been automatic from Jump Street, especially mm-hmm. because kids had to, you know, people had to start working from home, had to go to school from home, all these things. And if not that, then this program we should have had this shit last year. Period.
Well, but,
and that's what I said. And that's what I said. I said, I know. I said, I don't know. I said, and I was ready for a fight because you know me.
Kind of hoping for one.
Actually hoping for one because I'm in the mood. So it's like, so
it happens.
It happens. And so I said, this is something that should have happened last year, but because of who, you know, the, you know, former administration. And she's like, I agree with you 100%. I said, okay, good. So, you know, we already, you know, so we started talking about, you know, having, you know, that people should have had a living wage because, you know, the whole conversation that the lie, the bullshit that these Republican governors are pulling about saying that they're going to take away that $300 a week benefit to get people back to work.
Yeah, and they're canceling it on Juneteenth. Isn't that cute?
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, ma'am.
Yet another reason why I'm never leaving fucking California. If I had to go on the poll to make extra money to stay in this fucking state, a girl got to do what a girl got to do. But it's just, it is beyond comprehension. Because what people are realizing is that you want me to work, but you don't want to pay me.
Where have we heard that before?
Right. And so why should I?
we're going to give you a lovely little log shanty down in the bottoms.
Right. That part. I mean, did you see, I think I sent you that the story about the independent contractor that worked through the for meat packing companies, and how these people, you know, are getting killed and maimed and stuff because of a loophole and all this. And it's like, you people. Oh yeah, here it is. This company gives formerly incarcerated people a second chance, but workers face on-the-job dangers. And basically, it just talks about how, yeah, these people, they go to work, you know, especially if you have a felony, it's very difficult to get a job, making any kind of decent money. And they give people these jobs. The problem is, what kind of bastards these meat packing companies are. So basically how it works is, so this company, they're, you know, the are sending out independent contractors to work at these meat packing companies. And it's usually like to clean the equipment and stuff like that. But yeah,
guess what you don't get if you're an independent contractor?
You don't get shit.
Well,
and
there's that.
So this is the loophole. Here's the loophole. So say, you know, and this is what's been happening. Say I'm cleaning whatever, the machine that does whatever it does to the chickens. And, you know, and
you don't want to know what it does to the chickens.
No, I don't want to know what it does to the chickens because I still like chicken. So there should be a protective rail to keep people from falling in to this machine. Well, here's the deal. So because it's the independent contractor's company that is supplying the contractor to clean the equipment, the meat packing company is under no obligation to have safety equipment.
Of course. And guess what else? And no workers' comp either.
And no workers' comp either. This story, when I read this, I was horrified.
Last I checked, that's indentured servitude.
Right. You know, I mean, and they're making somewhat decent money. I think they're bringing home like $600-$700 a week. But at what cost?
Yeah.
You know, they're talking.
That's $600-$700 a week is supposed to allow you to buy your own workers' comp coverage.
Right.
Nobody's going to do that.
Nobody's going to do that.
No.
And so it's just when this.
And see, that's the kind. And going back to talking about Liz Cheney, or that's the kind of principled conservatism that principled conservatives support.
Right. And so when I hear about, you know, we don't need no regulations and stuff like that, and it chafes my heart because it is just common decency. I mean, we're old enough to remember, when you work for your company, companies took care of their employees, okay? You got paid a decent wage. You got insurance. You got a pension. Because back in the day, companies were like, well, if I'm not going to make any money, if I don't have decent employees, so I'm going to make sure I take care of my employees. I mean, it's not like there was, you know, it wasn't altruism or anything like that. It was just, it's just about the bottom line, you know, and you keep employee retention rates and all these things. You keep employees. And you know, because you take care of them. And now with this bullshit gig economy I thank God on a regular basis that they, I still don't understand how this got past them, that they allow people like me, independent contractors, gig, you know, self-employed, whatever, to be able to get unemployment during this pandemic. Because we all know that, you know, under normal circumstances, I would be fucked. There would be nothing I could do. Because, you know, if you're a gig employee or what have you, you're not entitled to unemployment insurance. So I still don't know how that bill got passed. I'm still shocked considering who the administration that was, you know, in power during this time at the beginning of the pandemic. So, I thank God every day that we had those, you know, we have this. And then now I thank God every day that I live in California because, you know, it's,
and with reason, you know, at least until Caitlyn Jenner becomes your governor.
Don't make me slap you.
I know.
I will come.
Are you telling me that what I just said is absolutely impossible?
No, I am not. I remember I live in California. I remember when they, you know, recalled Gray Davis. And we got Arnold Schwarzenegger. So no, I live in a reality based world. How, like, you know, back in, you know, 2016 when they were like, oh, Hillary's gonna mop the floor with Trump. I'm like, y'all don't really realize what kind of country we live in.
Yeah, y'all don't know nothing about white people.
Y'all don't know shit about white people. And these are the white people.
I know.
It's kind of like that
one story that we were discussing earlier today, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. You know, the good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals, Christian Republicans have all these PACs and you know, and it's all tax free, hallelujah, shit that they did, and they have pumped money into countries like Uganda in Africa to get the governments there to pass bills against gay people so that gay people can be murdered for being gay. And so I hooted like a barn owl when I saw that story earlier today, Tracy.
Which one? The one that you sent me?
Yeah. So there's a trans woman in Cameroon. And she is a trans celebrity, and she goes by the name Shakiro. And she's got she's got a YouTube channel. She's really popular. And she and another woman have been jailed in Cameroon now for wait for it, that under the charge of attempted homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, I read that. How do you attempt homosexuality there, Robin?
I'm thinking if you're trying, you're getting it right.
Right.
There might not be any finesse
to it and all that, but...
Well, it can get a little confusing because, I know this is going to sound crazy to some, but... You know, try living it. A trans woman who has sex with a cis male is not engaging in homosexuality.
No, they are not, because you are a trans woman.
A trans boy who engages in sex with a cisgender female
is
not engaging in homosexuality.
They are engaging in heterosexual sex.
Ding, 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 ding. And there are, you know, there are a lot of gay trans boys, and there are a lot of lesbian trans women.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'm trying to figure out what they were accused of doing. But moreover, it's pernicious because I did not know until I read this article that there are 31 different countries in Africa who have made, in some instances, a capital crime out of being gay. I mean, I knew it was there, but
you just didn't know the level of.
I didn't know there were that many.
And bigotry and you know.
And it has been it has become a cottage industry among the Christian right in this country. The Republican Christian right, before Trump even, okay? The Uganda thing was thing before Trump. And that's why I was gagging listening to Liz, dicking a wig, talking about how, you know, she's a principled conservative. Oh, really, sis? The kind of principled conservative that supports legislation that kills gay people in Uganda? That kind of principled conservative? Oh, no, not one of those. I'm not talking about Trump people. Honey, those weren't Trump people. Those were your Republican base before Trump ever declared his intention to run for the White House.
That part. This has been going on for a minute.
Yeah. Long one. Long minute.
I think at least 10 years.
Yeah. And... I mean, being gay is illegal in Iran. Being lesbian is illegal in Iran. But even Iran has figured out that, well, okay, we'll give you gender confirmation surgery, and then you won't be gay anymore, and you can have sex with all the guys you want to. I mean, not really, because, you know, theocratic Islam. But no, even the fucking mullahs in Iran don't call you gay if you are trans having sex with guys.
That part.
So just to recap, Iran understands more about that than Alabama or Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
See, this is, again, you know.
And again, that's conservative Republicanism. That's not Trumpism. That is the GOP. Those are the people that they relied on to win elections for them in places like Texas Stan and Mississippi Stan and Louisiana Stan and Oklahoma Stan and Talibama and Tennistan and Arkansas and Talibandiana. And so I've spent the entire evening, Tracy, on this horse shit over Liz Cheney. Because I just can't let that kind of dirty, low down lying and misinformation go out into the public unchallenged.
Right.
It's a tiny little community here that we struggle to keep alive, but at least I'm putting reality out there.
And again, this is, you know, I don't call in as much as I used to, but it's just the fact. It's just we have, you know, even if I just been, even if it's been months.
And they may kill that girl. They may kill that girl. And over here in America, the Christians will say, "Well, God's will be done."
State sanctions. It is just, you know, when I think about, when I first started listening to the show, I had no political chops or whatever the case may be. And so, you know, by listening to the show, I know what to hear, listen for, you know, like when, especially out here for the propositions. And, you know, how to read through the bullshit and stuff like that. The things that we should be, that, you know, back in the day, how we used to, our kids used to get taught civics and, you know, and government and stuff like that. So they would be, an informed populace, but they don't, you know, Republicans don't want us informed. They want us to be stupid.
Because that's the core necessity of traditional Republican conservatism, an electorate that don't know shit from shinola.
Right. So when they, you know, when
Why do my shoes smell funny? Because you don't know the difference between shit and shinola.
salmonella. It's like, you know, like, for example, out here in California, we have been trying, you know, key things that they've been trying to get past. More regulations on the dialysis companies out here and rent control statewide. But because of these commercials, you know, that are half-truthed at best and, you know, paid for by the lobbying, you know, companies and what happened for the lobbyists for the, you know, the dialysis companies and the, you know, the lobbyists for the, you know, the real estate owners and stuff like that. So they run these ads to scare the living shit out of people, especially in the case of, like, you know, for rent control. Because, see, out here in California, if you live in an apartment building, yeah, that's, you know, was built in a certain year, then you're eligible for rent control. But the thing is, like, say, if you lived in a single-family home that's rented, doesn't matter how old the house is, those houses, those properties are not eligible for rent control.
Yep.
Okay? So what happened is they were running these ads, you know, specifically geared to, you know, the mom and pop, you know, real estate owners, you know, that only, may only have one rental income, you know, property, or they actually might be, you know, owner occupied, you know, like in a duplex or a fourplex or what have you. And so they were, you know, they ran these ads to scare the bejesus out of people into voting against this, you know, the you know, guaranteed rent control. And, you know, and of course he lost, you know, the proposition didn't pass. And so now, especially, you know, especially like in South LA and Inglewood and stuff, everybody's rents, especially where they're building, well, it's now open, built the SoFi Arena, whatever the fuck it is. Their rents went up like 400 times.
God.
You know, it was just especially like people who have lived in Inglewood, you know, they make a room for white people. And like, you know, the mom and pop businesses that have been in business forever, like decades in Inglewood, can no longer afford the rent because they want, you know, they want to replace things with like another fucking Starbucks or another fucking McDonald's, you know, some corporate bullshit. And so it's just, I guess deep down I'm a fucking communist, a socialist, or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Oh, I'm so proud. I am so proud of you. I think, wait, do you realize you just came out again?
Yes. It is. And I don't give a fuck if anybody has anything to say about it. I'm, you know, because I'm just tired. I'm tired of the fact that
exhausted.
Has made $1 billion more because of the pandemic and doesn't pay a cent in income tax.
Yeah.
So right now we have a budget increase, so in the state of California, because we tax rich motherfuckers, okay, and so we have a surplus.
Biggin, what is it, $75 billion?
Something like that, $6 billion, something. And so now we got to figure out, and this is after, even during a pandemic, Bob. So we're going to do this, Batman. So, you know, how these, you know, like you said, these conservative Republicans talk about we can't, you know, raise taxes on the rich because it'll mess with the economy and it will get rid of jobs and blah, blah, blah. And it will crush this and do that. How is it that by state, and to tell you the truth, the tax base that they're charging this is a pretty damn high tax base. So, like, somebody, like, if you're making $100,000 or something like that, I don't even think it touches you. So I'm talking, like, the uber, ultra-rich motherfucker, okay? And because we are taxing these assholes, and to me, we're not taxing them enough, we have a $76 billion with a B dollar surplus.
And you know, you might want to just kind of let that surplus lay there for a little while.
Yeah, I'm hoping we do. I mean, they're talking about using it to help more people because of the COVID.
Or how about
speaking of which,
I don't know. How about building some housing for people who don't have lots of money?
That part.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Steve in New York wants to know, why does Tracy hate Freedom and Merca so much? You got to say that. Yeah. And by the way, there's another wrinkle to the emergency broadband thing that Darlene brought up, or that you brought up that Darlene just advised me of. With the emergency broadband support, I saw that in lieu of the monthly support for your IT service, you can get money towards a single computer, laptop, or tablet.
No. You could, it's both. No. So you could do both. So you can, depending, and you have to get it through your provider. So you get $100 towards the cost of a laptop or, you know, part of like a Chromebook or something, or a tablet, in addition to the $50 a month towards your bill.
So if your provider is a wireless internet service over your cell carrier, you could get an iPad.
An iPad. You know,
or an Android tablet, because not everybody.
Or you know, right. Because I checked, and I meant to ask the customer service rep when I called about that part. But I did go on because Spectrum now offers mobile service. And they, like, so they're offering, like you said, an iPad. So Sister Graham might go ahead and get her an iPad.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah.
If I Sister Graham, I'd be me.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm going. I got to get out of here because we're actually over to
504. Oh my God! My God!
Oh no! That's one. I'm so glad you called in. And are you gonna? Are you gonna post this? Are you gonna post the video over at the Horn page?
Did you tell the family about my?
No, I didn't. When I saw that you'd called in, Tracy sent me the link last night. And I got to watch the presentation that she talked about in terms of the research project on African-American preference for African-American mental health counseling. And y'all, she was awesome. She was freaking awesome. And then the Q&A, cool, 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 cool. And just handled it. Right. And
that's one about Zoom. Y'all didn't see. They didn't see my knees knocking.
Didn't even hear it. But you're going to put it up over at the Horn Facebook page.
Yes.
And it starts about what? Your part starts about what? 21 minutes in, and then the Q&A is at like 55 minutes.
21 minutes in for my presentation. And then, like, about 55 minutes in for the Q&A.
And I was straight up thrilled. I mean, I was impressed as hell. You did such a great job.
Thank you. And I have to give props to my teacher because I suck at PowerPoint, but she helped her sister out, and so I could figure out how to use PowerPoint.
Oh, PowerPoint. Please, I hate PowerPoint. Long and long ago, Peter Godbold had a phrase he used. He said, and it has all the charm of a PowerPoint presentation.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah. Anyway,
by the way, Shorty in L.A. says, Tracy, thank the Vice President. Kamala Harris is in charge of starting broadband to Americans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of, like, I was talking about that surplus and, you know, using money to help Californians that are suffering because of COVID. I got a grant because I am, you know, a small business owner, and I have, you know, I've lost money and all this because I haven't worked. I applied for a grant and I actually got it.
Hot damn.
Hot fucking damn. That part. So, yeah. So I will definitely, you know, so this is, you know, those things where this is how government is supposed to work. This is what, you know, of the for the people, by the people, and all this. This is what it's supposed to be. It's basic. And so, and again, this is why I'll never leave California. But again, I know you got to go. Oh, that's what I meant to ask. What is your, what's happening with your fundraising? Then I'll let you go.
Oh, it's in a, it's, well, I mean, we're
in a tailspin?
No, not a tailspin, but you know, it's a struggle.
Okay.
I think we're down around like 720. We're within like $120 of finishing Monday's fundraising. So it's around okay. 720. Well,
so let's say you said $120 to finish today's fundraising.
Well, finish Monday's.
Okay. Monday. I'm sorry. So let's do this. Let's split the difference. So I will do a $60 challenge, and it's good until tomorrow.
Okay, wonderful.
Time to, you know, for people who are listening to the show later on, or or tomorrow, you know, $60 to the end of tomorrow's program if match funds, blah blah blah. And if the funds get matched tomorrow before the end of the show, a sister girl might kick a little something in. So, you know.
Awesome. Thank you, Tracy.
So we'll call it Sister Gal Tracy Got Paid.
Sister Gal Tracy Got Paid challenges on the table. There we go. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And I'm thrilled for the good things that are happening in your world. And thanks for bringing the info about the broadband program. That's useful. That's something that'll help people.
I'll put that on the horn page as well.
That would be really good. So the horn page will have both your presentation and the emergency broadband information.
Awesome. So anyway, I love you guys. Good night and have a good rest of the evening.
Love you. Take care. Say hi to Jan for us. We'll talk soon.
I will.
All right.
Bye, girl. Bye.
Bye, girl. Bye. See ya.
See ya.
The one and only Tracy. Formerly the lady cab driver, now the up-and-coming academic. And so we did about 10 minutes of extra radio this evening. And thank you. Yes, it did. Thank you very kindly to our anonymous friend. That challenge got met. So if, that gets us down below $700. And if Tracy's challenge is met, we will actually have started on funding for Tuesday. So, yes, thank you very kindly. It did get met. And thanks to everybody who jumped in and helped keep the lupine pest away from the porch. It means a ton, especially given everything that we got trying to go on here. Let me take one more call because this was kind of a mess earlier. I thought I went to the call and nobody was there though. Let's try again. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey.
Carl from West.
Yeah, Carl. How are you? I'm sorry about earlier. I hollered hello, and there was nobody there.
No problem. But does anybody realize that? Cheney sounds like Marjorie
Trader Green Cucumber.
With a little bit more, maybe 10% more knowledge.
Yeah, 10 points more IQ.
No, 10% more knowledge.
Oh, okay.
Not IQ, just 10% more knowledge or information. She's. When I hear her talk, I'm just like, oh my! I just think it's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I think there's some truth in that. There's not that. Look, she voted during the four nightmare years of his horrifying maladministration. Liz Cheney voted almost 93% of the time with Trump.
I thought it was like 96, but
nah, yeah. It's like 92.9. And so she's not exactly a bomb-throwing Republican revolutionary?
I don't think she could light a bomb.
Well, she knows how to parrot her daddy's talking points. And that's the bottom line. You know, but anybody who knows her or her family's history can take apart every word that she said, and that's what the first 2 hours of this program were.
The day Cheney Dick dies, the hell will open a hole to swallow him down. I'm sorry.
People will know on that day, and there's a couple other days like that. You'll know what's happened because it'll be tweeted. You know, West Virginia trans woman seen dancing naked down street, and you'll know that somebody has gone to their long home.
There is going to be a ripple in the time frame or time continuum or something. Everybody's going to feel it when Dick Cheney dies.
Unfortunately, like, I think he got a 4-year-old's heart.
Yes, but still, like when Kissinger dies, you're going to feel it. You're going to wake up in the morning and go, something's better.
Yeah, something's better, and you'll be able to hear wrong. you'll be able to hear hymns of joy from places like Chile,
yes,
and Laos, and Cambodia, and Vietnam.
Yes. Yes, when both of them die. You know, I'm sorry, it's going to be a good day when they die. But, all right, I got to go now.
All right, Carl, you have a good evening, my friend. All right.
I've been drinking too much, and I only talk to you when I drink too much. All right. Thanks a lot.
You're bye. Good. You did fine. Don't sweat it. Talk to you later, Carl. Bye.
Bye.
That's it. Okay. That'll close out the program. At that hot mess, Darlene in Connecticut says, of a hearing today on the January 5th insurrection, someone slipped up and referred to Marjorie Taylor Greene as Marjorie Taylor Queen. that was a hot mess. People like Jim Shorts Jordan just sort of devolved before our very eyes, and the next thing you know, he was leaning over and picking the fleas out of like off of Louis Asparagus Gohmert's scalp and munching them. Ooh, I just took down dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. Damn, I wasn't even trying. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for all you do to keep the program on the air. Remember, there's a $60 challenge, courtesy of Tracy, the Your Girl Just Got Paid challenge. And if that's met, that'll get us a good ways into Tuesday. That's awesome, and it's badly needed. Thank you, Tracy, and thanks to everybody who jumped in and helped out. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. That would be me moderating in the chat room this evening. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. And by the way, I'm mentioning Brother Deacon Asa. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 6 p.m. Pacific at headon.live. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Hope you're getting better and better news about your well-being. Just keep healing, Ben. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to write your congressperson and ask them to please co-sponsor the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2073, the AIC Act. If you're in AOC's district, write her. She jumped on the first time. We're just waiting for some folks to come around. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, It's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine as soon as you can if you haven't already. In the meantime, follow all of your good protective protocols. Wear your mask, double mask if need be. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands frequently. Use your hand sanitizer. I got a bottle right here. If this wasn't real spray hand sanitizer, I couldn't do that. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, I am a principled conservative Republican, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.